Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Garage Talk Live. It is Tuesday, September 8th. Hope everybody had a nice Labor Day weekend. The big action this weekend were the Sprint Cup Series and the Xfinity Series out at Darlington for the Southern 500. And the NHRA in Indianapolis for the Chevrolet Performance U.S. Nationals. This marks the end of the regular season for the NHRA, and NASCAR's Sprint Cup Series has one more week to go before the start of the chase. Joining me in a couple of minutes will be Amy Turner, Director of Communications and Public Relations for Richmond International Raceway. We'll be talking about all the things they've got coming up out at the action track this coming weekend. Well, without further ado, I'd like to welcome to the show the one and only Amy Turner, Communications Director for Richmond International Raceway. Amy, hello, my friend. Welcome to the show again.
Hello. Thank you for having me, and what a wonderful welcome. I appreciate that.
Well, it's getting that time of the year, and I know you're gearing up big time this weekend. This is it, the biggest event of the NASCAR season outside of the Daytona 500 and the beginning of the chase, which is the week after. This is where everybody throws down to have that one last push to get into the chase, and it's all at your track, Richmond International Raceway.
Absolutely. I love hearing you say that. It is. This is a big weekend coming up here. And, you know, we prepare all year long for this race. Even during the April weekend, we have a race in April and we're preparing for September. Big race weekend for us and for the fans. And, you know, it's just really awesome. And I'm driving around property right now and, you know, you can see things are really shaping up and we've got campers coming in. Our first campground opened at noon, so things are starting to get crazy busy. We've got a lot of the haulers that have come in, the merchandise and sponsor haulers and displays and things. They came up from Darlington and arrived last night, so, you know, really, really busy around here.
Oh, I can imagine. I know having two races a year is a lot to deal with. At least the years are spread far enough apart that you can recover from the first one while still planning for the second one. And, you know, the fact that you have the last race before the chase, it's just there's so much emphasis on this race at Richmond this weekend that I don't know whether the drivers are more excited, nervous, angry, you got to struggle through. As you get closer to the event, what's the vibe usually like? Around the track and in the media.
It depends on the driver. It really does depend on the driver as to what the vibe is like. I mean, I will say that overall, there's electricity in the air. And, you know, no matter who you ask, they talk about how cool it is to race at night and the energy and the excitement. And really, like, you can feel it just in the Richmond community, too. When you come into town, whether you live here in Richmond, whether you're driving in from out of town, whether you're flying in, you can just see it. You know it's race weekend when you get here. And, it's the excitement and on the track. I mean, it really does depend on the driver. A guy like Jimmy Johnson, he knows he's going to be in the chase. And so, I mean, he is a little more casual and laid back. And he doesn't have a lot of stress on him because for him, they're basically trying anything and everything, and a win is great because that means a few more points to get them, you know, rank them higher. But then they can try things, and it is a risk because, hey, maybe it works so that they can try it at Phoenix later on while they're in the chase. But a guy like Jeff Gordon, he's under a lot of stress right now. And, you know, yeah, mathematically, he probably will make it in the chase. But a win guarantees that he'll be in the chase. And, you know, he hasn't had a win yet. You know, that's that piece where his team is really stressed and Jeff is really, really stressed because he wants to win, No, he's guaranteed a spot in his final full season in NASCAR Sprint Cup Series. So, you know, driver, it's just where is the driver in the point standings really determines kind of what his mentality is and how he comes across. And, you know, the fans can feel that too when they get here, which is really cool.
And another thing, too, is like you said about Jeff Gordon now, you figure he has announced as of last year as a driver in the Sprint Cup Series. And, you know, I'm not used to seeing these young guys call it a day, you know, like he is. And good for him that he can do it. Usually they drive on into their 50s and early 60s, and some like Morgan Shepherd are still driving. So, but, you know, to go out this early, not have a win yet at this time, and to make the chase, he's always had that drive for five that he thought he was on a sure road to, and then Jimmy Johnson came along, and when he went five in a row and then six overall, kind of took the focus off of Jeff a little bit. So I guess, you know, I'm definitely like to get a win in this race to ensure the chase, but I guess his focus is once he gets in, making sure he's in that final four at the end of the year. But yeah, and Richmond is a track that, from my perspective, as someone who's watched more of them and been to a few, and you don't know what's going to happen. The racing's so exciting there. It's 3/4 mile tri oval that you got room to pass and room to trade some paint and all the good stuff that comes along with trying to make it to the finish.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. It is. I mean, you know, the drivers talk about Richmond and the experience at Richmond, and they say, you know, how can a short track, I mean, we are a short track, how can a short track feel like a super speedway? The speeds that they're running are so fast, but yet we are a short track, and there's that intensity. And, you know, I've listened to the drivers for years, having been to the track as a fan as well, and now being here working at the track and having worked with drivers too previously coming out, you sit in the stands and you can see the driver's hands on the steering wheel. You can see the intensity in the driver himself or herself, and that's something that a lot of the bigger tracks, the fans are so far off of the track. It, you know, when you sit in the stands, you don't see that. At Richmond, they're right on top of you, and you really do see it. And the drivers talk about it because the drivers actually see the fans, and they think that's pretty cool too.
I remember when, and this is going back, you might not have even been born when I went to this race, or maybe just born. It was the early 90s when Richard Petty drove the bulldozer to change the configuration of Richmond International Raceway from the old fairgrounds, a half mile, the way it used to be with the metal guardrails and all that, and then to watch the track transform and become the event and the venue that it is today is just phenomenal. And the fact that there's so much importance on the race, I'm surprised they didn't pattern more to the tracks like Richmond instead of those 1.5 mile cookie cutters.
Right. Well, I agree. And first, I have to say thank you for thinking I'm so young. I'm not, but I greatly appreciate that. But you're right. Like, you know, everybody talks about Richmond and the uniqueness, and there should be more 3/4 mile tracks. And, you know, we personally are glad that there's not any other tracks like us, because that makes us unique and it makes us special. Nobody else can claim that they have what we have. But from the perspective of the sport itself, yeah, I don't know why. I mean, they kind of got into a style of building what everybody now knows as the cookie cutter tracks. And I think that we're seeing a shift from that. Obviously, we're not seeing any new tracks being built, but you are seeing a shift where maybe one of those mile-and-a-half tracks had two races. Now it only has one, that kind of thing. So, you know, they're aware of what's going on. And I do feel like NASCAR's doing a great job of, you know, listening to the fans and hearing what's going on and trying to help with the competition on the track. I mean, we had two tire tests here at Richmond this year to try and help you know, make the action on the track better. We were known as the action track years ago, and we want to get back to that, and the drivers want to get back to that, and that's what our fans love and expect. Like you said, the side-by-side, the beating and banging, like that's what Richmond's known for. And so NASCAR's really, really trying to, you know, find the right setups and the right tires and make sure that they're bringing that competition back into the sport, because that does impact who watches on TV or who's coming out and experiencing the race. And, you know, that's important.
The thing about last year was the newly designed chase, and drivers going into it really didn't know what to expect. But this is the second year, so they know coming into Richmond, hey, this really means something, because you figure the next biggest race after Richmond would be at my old home track for the first elimination, and how they whittle it down to the final four for the last event. And I'll tell you, for one, I like the new format for the chase, and two, I think I guess when the drivers and all come in, one of the questions I think that could be asked in the media center, if I was there, I probably would ask it. After coming from last year to this year, how much more important is this race than it was last year?
That's a great question to ask. I'll see if I can plant that in the media center with somebody and get them to ask that question. But very true. And I'd love to kind of get some feedback from drivers. I love the new kind of playoff setting. I mean, all the other sports, professional sports, have playoffs, and that's how you find, you know, you whittle it down to your championship team. And I think that it's really cool to see NASCAR shift to the same thing with the brackets. And one thing for us, I mean, you mentioned, like, how important Richmond is. What we think is really cool in the fact that we're the 26th race and the playoffs start after our race, we set the field for the playoffs. And it's a really cool thing to celebrate. So we actually host a post-race party now. This will be the second year that we do it. There's no additional cost. Every single ticket holder is invited to the post-race party. We're going to open up the grandstand gate, let you walk out on the track, go out, and hang out is introduced. The 16 contenders will be introduced, and those will be the guys that will race for the championship. And it just really is a cool setting to see that grid and to see how it's being filled in, or even, you know, up until this past weekend in Darlington, the changes in the grid, as they call it, like, you know, you've got your NCAA bracket. Well, this is NASCAR's version.
Definitely, and I think it makes the racing that much more interesting with every week. Drivers knowing that, hey, they could be out of the chase every 3 weeks. I mean, if you win, you're in, you move on, which is a nice feature. Puts the emphasis on winning as well, but there's still the second place through 16th on down where they got to make sure they get into that next round. And
right.
And like you said, it sets the tone there. And I'm sure leading up to the event this weekend, you got some fun promotions going on that you might want to share with everybody to draw some more fans down to Richmond International Raceway, because, hey, if I could be there, I would. Maybe I'll come work for you next, if you need an event help, next chase, I'll come out.
That would be awesome. I would love to have you come out and work with me. And you're right, we do. I mean, I personally think the coolest thing we have going is the post-race party presented by Outback this year, which is great. We all know what Outback comes to the table with. So I'm hearing that there's quite a few bloom and onion coupons that will be passed out at post-race party. We've got NBC on board to broadcast the post-race party live on television. So if you can't come to the race, you can watch it on TV. Rutledge Wood is actually going to be our host for the post-race party. And he has so much energy and he's so much fun. And, you know, having seen the first year post-run this year, we're going to make it even bigger. We do giveaways. We have big heads. We have glow sticks. We have glow necklaces, confetti, beads, you name it, we're having a party, and it really is awesome. That's probably the coolest thing we have going on, and the fact that it's free to every ticket holder. Not a lot of places will do that and say that. They're looking at opportunities to make a little more money, and for us, this is really important to provide more value for what you're getting with your ticket, to give you an experience and really make sure that you've had a great time when you're in Richmond, and you talk about us afterwards, and you tell your friends, that was the coolest party I've ever been to, we got to go next year. And that, you know, that's really awesome. We have Tim Duggar is going to be doing a Blu-ray concert for us. So we do have, we sell tickets for the pre-race concert. It's actually driver intro pass, which is it's in addition to your race ticket, but you buy a driver intro pass and down on the track at the stage for the concert and for driver introduction, which is really cool too.
Wow, that's pretty neat. And are tickets still available? And if they are, let's tell everybody where to
tickets are still available, yes, sir. And you know, you can get a ticket for Saturday night starting at $40. And the easiest thing to do, honestly, is just to go to our website, rir.com. And anything and everything you need to know is on that website. All the details about post-race party, all the details about the driver intro pack, concert, any other experiences that we have going on. If your kids like Jimmy Johnson, we have a Jimmy Johnson package that is. It includes tickets and a meet and greet experience with Jimmy and a group from NASA. I mean, there's so many. I can't even run through all those opportunities. But we have a military offer that comes with a pre-race kit pass if you purchase your ticket and you show your military ID. So lots and lots and lots of really cool packages, opportunities. There's something there for everyone, no matter what age. There's something there for you. And all the details on our website, rir.com.
And just click on the tabs. I'm there right now. Tickets, guest info, hospitality, track info, anything you want to find out is on the website, including...
It is. Hotel information is up there. We've got a lot of great hotel partners. We have, for years, worked with the local region hotels, and part of our program with them is, you know, we've seen it previously at other facilities. A large sporting event comes into town. Hotels typically increase fans. These are our fans, and they're important to us. And we want to make sure that they're treated like family. So don't raise your price. Give them the same price that you would on a normal day. Let's offer that to our fans, because they're coming into town. They're staying here. They're going to be eating in our restaurants and buying groceries and shopping and having fun. We want them to have a great experience so that they do come back. You know, if you feel like family, you're going to come back again. You want to go back to, you know, your aunt's house and hang out, especially when she's, you know, there making sure you've got clean sheets, clean towels, and cooking dinner for you every night. So kind of that same concept. And that's the hotels that we have listed on our website have all agreed to support those efforts within the community and make sure that our fans have the best experience possible and get the best value for what they're spending.
Well, it's smart business, I think, for them to do that. Yeah, back in the day, they used to, you know, jack the prices up four times, but the way the sports become and then the economy change, everybody has to work together to fill those rooms as well as the seats. And, you know, in Richmond, is in a metro area, so there are things to do outside the track as well. Unlike, you know, from some places down my neck of the woods where once you leave the track, you're in the woods or up in the mountains.
Yeah. Right, exactly. Well, and that's very true. I mean, there's so many things here in Richmond. We've kind of become a food destination. Yeah, we have the James River, and Richmond has been kind of featured for the outdoor lifestyle now. And so a lot of people love going down on the river, whether you bike, whether you kayak, you canoe, you raft. I mean, it's just it's a great experience here in town. If you don't do that, we have museums and we have amusement parks nearby. And you know, you're here for the weekend, race is Saturday night. You can always run up to DC, you know, and go to the Capitol and the Smithsonian. There's a lot to do. You really can stay very, very busy. You can go out towards the mountains and Charlottesville, Monticello. Go to the beach in Virginia Beach. I mean, golly, I can name all kinds of things in the Richmond area or probably an hour, hour and a half drive that would be so much fun to do. And depending on the age that that you are or if you have kids or your group that's coming with you, just some really awesome experiences here in our area.
That's for sure. And, you know, it's not just a one-day weekend. Of course, you have the Virginia 529 College Savings 250 on Friday night. And prior to that, you have the UNOH 100 on Thursday night. So, you know, three races, one weekend. What more could you
busy
ask for?
Weekend,
three different
right?
divisions. Yeah.
I know. Crazy busy weekend. And you're right. We do have two races on we have a race Thursday night and Friday night. Thursday and Friday, both nights, kids 12 and under are free in general admission sections. As long as they come with a ticketed adult, which I don't really think there's a lot of kids 12 and under who can get themselves to the track by themselves, but typically they do come with an adult. But it's a great way to introduce a younger generation to the fun of a race as the cup race on Saturday night. You kind of, you know, just let them dip their toe in and, hey, if they like it, come back on Saturday. Or maybe, you know, they liked it so much that you're going to want to come back in 2016 and experience the cup race. You know, there's plenty of opportunities there. But, you know, the kids 12 and under, I mean, it really is. It's a great experience to bring your kids out. I have an 8-year-old and I have a 5-year-old, and they count down until race time and want to know, hey, are the race cars at the track yet? I had my kids at the track yesterday with Labor Day. They came by before getting ready for dinner last night and school today, and first thing my son says is, we need to check inside to make sure the race cars are ready. Yes, sir, we'll check inside. But it's just, you know, it's really, as a parent who loves the sport, it's their energy and excitement around the sport as well, and bringing them out to the track, they have a blast. And yet we have a kids zone, which is Virginia 529 Kids Zone. The Science Museum here in Richmond brings out some of their displays and all kinds of stuff. I mean, the kids go home with just bags and bags and bags of stuff that they can do and pick up and freebies on the midway.
Yeah, I mean, and the thing of it is, too, you have to bring in grow the younger fan. And what happened, and this is, people have told me this, that for a while there, that was the case. And then the sport grew to the point where they outpriced to where you could bring the younger fan and grow the next generation NASCAR fans. And they have to get back to that. And, my God, your kids are getting big. I remember, it just seems like not too long ago, you just had your second one, and the first one was still in diapers, and now that you're 8 and 5.
I know. Yes, started kindergarten today, so I know it is crazy and fun to watch, and like I said, fun to see them kind of grow up around the sport, and I agree. I think for years, you know, when everybody was selling out, the prices were so high that parents, they didn't see a reason, a value to bring their kids. If your kid's going to come sit in grandstands and, you know, 20 laps in, say, all right, Mom, I'm tired, I want to leave, that's a lot of money to take your kid and do that. So, you know, again, let them test the water. Bring them on Friday when it's free for kids, 12 and under, and you really aren't out a lot of money at all for the kids to be there and experience it. And then it does introduce them to the sport, and hopefully they're going to fall in love with it. I mean, once you go to a race, how can you not fall in love with it? I think you feel that way, and there's a lot of us that feel that way. We need more people to kind of, you know, to help us revitalize the sport and bring in those new fans who are going to want to for years and years and years, and then bring their kids in and keep the sport growing for years to come.
That's it. And then, you know, because you want people to keep returning to the track, and that's how you have to do it, because you don't want the generations to dwindle down. Now, what I think is, like, you get the young kids coming to the early race on Thursday there, the UNLH 100, and then, you know, they say, ooh, there's a driver that they can follow as they grow, and then when they make it to the big time, you know, they'll be buying all that merchandise as well. I mean, you'll still see kids watching on TV, like in the Cup drivers or the Xfinity drivers, but, you know, when they can grow with a driver that they're used to seeing up close and personal like that, then it kind of helps.
It does, absolutely. Someone they can identify with, and you're right. I mean, those the guys that are racing right now in the Xfinity Series and the K&N Series, they are the up-and-coming stars. I mean, look at Chase Elliott. And, you know, Chase Elliott is really kind of, I think, doing a great job for the sport in that his fans are coming back over to pay attention. And then he's bringing in all these new, younger generation to watch. And he, you know, so he's kind of connecting the dots that maybe we hadn't connected previously. You've got a guy like Bubba Wallace. Great kid. Absolutely amazing. A lot of energy. A lot of people don't realize, but he is a photographer, and he loves to go out. If he's not racing, he's out shooting race cars on the track. He's, you know, anytime he can get a camera in his hand, he's having a blast. And that's showing the personalities of these guys, and that they have other interests too, and there's a way to connect them to, you know, new fans that may go, oh, wow, this guy doesn't just race cars. He actually, he's a photographer. Or, wow, this guy graduated from this school with an engineering degree. I love the fact that we're showing the kind of the behind-the-scenes personalities of all of the drivers now. And I think that's really cool, too, because now new fans that might not have paid attention previously, they find a reason to connect again. And that's how we grow their sport.
Definitely. And the only thing, my gripe about the sport is we need more women drivers.
Well, you know, I don't disagree with you. And it's a tough spot for me as a female. I'd love to see a female driver come in and be successful. However, growing up in the sport, yes, Danica is great from a sponsor perspective. She draws attention. I have nothing against her, but I can't say that she's the best driver I've ever met. I would love to see a female driver come in and, you know, really just show those guys up just one time, because I think that's where the female driver has gotten a bad rep, is we have not seen a successful female driver, and I would love nothing more than to see that happen.
Well, right now, I think the only one who can brag about that would be the NHRA, because they have a ton of them, and a few of them have won championships.
Absolutely. You are so right. You're so right. And that's really cool to see. And I'd love to see some success come over here to NASCAR as well.
I know we had Johanna Long a couple of years ago. She was at Richmond in the what's now the Xfinity Series. And seeing somebody who has talent and, we'll say, an underfunded team and have a tough time. I think one time she was running good at Richmond until she blew a tire, hit the wall. She was running in the top 10 and passed Denny Hamlin like he was standing still.
Right. Absolutely.
And now there's a young girl in the ARCA that you might want to keep an eye on. Maybe you need an ARCA race and a drag strip to see some women drivers. But
hey, you know, we may have to call Dennis about that.
But, you know, because, you know, they have one out here in Bristol. They got Thunder Valley. Charlotte's got one. You know, maybe they could tap into that NHRA market and you'll have another couple busy weekends.
Hey, it's to me, anything that involves racing, I'm okay with that. That works.
But, yeah, it's just been one, you know, it's one of those years now where everybody knows what to expect in the chase, and Richmond's the place to be because it's the last chance. Once that's it, you know, everybody else is just racing for trophies and money, which really doesn't hurt. But as far as the big check and the big trophy, that Sterling Silver Sprint Cup trophy at the end of the year, and that was a $5 million prize. Yeah, I think there's going to be some hungry guys going for that. I know the final drivers in the top 16 that are just in on points want to get in there, but having that win and taking that breather
makes it a little easier, doesn't it?
Sure does.
Yep, absolutely. Yeah. Well, we're excited about the weekend, and hopefully some of your listeners are going to join us for the weekend. And if they were kind of on the fence trying to decide, maybe the fact that you get to come out and party with us post-race, Outback, NBC, like, come on. Come buy tickets and party with us. We are ready for everybody to come visit.
That's for sure. And, you know, well, you know, like you said, NBC is going to be televising the party after the race. So, you know, that's some good publicity there. So,
absolutely. And it, good, you know, like I said, if you can't come, you can watch it on TV. But if you can come, you might want to tell your friends to watch because you might make it on TV.
That's true. I made it on TV.
I got a spin for everything, Vince. I got it all.
You got it all. We got to put our heads together. I think we can come up with some big things, and I'll let you take all the credit.
Oh, listen to you. I see a lot of your listeners, and really appreciate you having me on. And RIR.com, I got to get that in one more time.
Of course.
All the information you could ever want to know about the racetrack and about this weekend, RIR.com. And what I didn't mention, we do have a mobile app that you can download that will tell you when we have driver appearances on property and what's going on. So another great way to stay in the know by following us through social media, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, but also downloading the mobile app if you're going to be at the track because it'll help you. We even have an interactive midway display map that you, through the mobile app, you click on it, and it'll tell you where to go to get the coolest stuff from all of our midway displays. So all kinds of awesome stuff and information at RIR.com.
That's for sure. Mobile app. How what a genius move that was. I mean, that's one of the – how did you keep that from me until now?
You know, sometimes I have so many things to talk about that I just kind of forget sometimes. But that's a very important thing. Even though I know the property, I still use it to help people find where they need to go. So awesome thing to use, and all the details are on the website.
That's for sure. If I had had that when I came out a couple of years ago, or I think it'll be about 2 years ago now, in April, I didn't know where I was going. If I didn't see you coming out of one of the gates there, I'd have been lost. But now with the mobile app.
Hey, you'll know where to find me.
That's it. Around Amy Tracker.
Well, thanks again. I really appreciate you having me on, Vince, and, you know, hopefully we'll see a lot of people out this coming weekend and great weather. And, hey, you know, I know you can't make it out this weekend, but maybe next year you'll come out and you can work for me.
I'll definitely do that because now I have everything figured out what I'm doing around here now. And I'll definitely take a vacation time out from my day job or other job to come out, and maybe we'll do a live broadcast. As long as I bring my computer and my mixer, we could do one of those. And
absolutely. We'd love to have you come out and do a live show.
Let's keep in touch a little bit better now, and we'll set this all up for the next chase season. And we'll have our Gil, the photographer, out there as well to take pictures of everything. And, you know, make sure you grab some pics off of him if you can for your stuff. Tell them I said so.
I absolutely will. I'll tell them you said so. Awesome.
Oh,
well, thanks again, and hopefully we'll get to talk again soon.
Oh, definitely. You have my cell number. If I'm not mistaken, I'll email it to you. And just drop me a line sometime to even shoot the breeze about whatever.
that sounds great. Look forward to it.
All right. Have a fun weekend. Richmond International Raceway, the last race before the chase, get on out there. Hey, that party thing sounds really good. I'll tell you, if I could go there this year, I would. But get on out there if you're coming from this part of the state where I'm at in Bastion. It's a four-hour drive. And if you're coming from my old neck of the woods, it's still a four-hour drive. But if you live close by and are tuned in, get on down to Richmond and have fun this weekend. And everything should be great. Thanks a lot, Amy. And we'll be talking.
Absolutely.
Don't worry about it.
Yep. Thanks for having me. Really appreciate it, Vince. Everybody have a great day.
Okay. There you have it. Thanks for Amy joining us. Always fun talking to Amy. I'll tell you, the Richmond International Raceway always puts on a good show. So get on down there. I don't know, you know, I'm kind of torn. I live way out here. I used to go to Dover. I love Richmond, and so I've only gotten to work the race once, but we'll see what happens next year. I'd like to work for Amy for a weekend. And it should be fun. Well, anyway, we're going to take a little break. Come right back after these words, and we'll get into what's happened this weekend at the Southern 500, the retro look, the fun of the race. It turned out different than the way it was looking like it was going to go. So we'll get more back on that right after this.
Cadence Candle is a family-owned company that makes the finest quality hand-poured candles you'll find anywhere, in many different colors, sizes, and scents. They use only the best wax and scents to ensure your candle performs to its very best, each and every time. Cadence uses a unique blend of hybrid wax that consists of a 50% soy and a 50% paraffin mixture, enabling the best of both worlds in candle making. The soy base is to ensure a cleaner burn while being environmentally friendly, and the paraffin is used to achieve a great scent throw and the ability to add color nicely, giving those bright, vibrant colors that catch your eyes. Cadence Candles carries a wide variety of gel candles as well. Need a fundraiser for your school or church? Candles make a great item to use for fundraisers for any type of function you may have. Give Cadence Candles a call at 610-960-5677 or find them on the web at www.cadencecandles.com. And for all you Facebook users, be sure to like them at Facebook at facebook.com/Cadence Candle.
And we're back here at Garage Talk Live. I'm Vince Bonfigli. You're listening to us on blogtalkradio.com. Hope you're all tuned in. Amy Turner, Director of Communications. Well, it's going to be a fun weekend at Richmond, man. Now I'm kind of disappointed that I can't go. I think I need to get me... definitely we'll have to set it up for next year. Do a live show. Imagine a second show. Do a Tuesday show and then... Or I might postpone the Tuesday show and do it live from Richmond and they could bring drivers on up. Should be awesome. Well, we'll see what happens. But anyway, back to the event. You know, as the racing season is drawn to a close, the fall is coming. The end of racing season comes to an end. You start getting this feel of the playoff action within motorsports. The NHRA had the playoff format to where they have their version of a chase, which is the top 10 drivers in each of their major divisions compete. And then NASCAR with the chase for the Sprint Cup, which when it came out, like a good idea, but only seemed to enhance what was the prior part of the season with those that were in the chase battled from one race to the end, and where you wound up. Now, with a new playoff format where there's eliminations involved after three events, you figure the first race... first two winners, well, actually all three winners for the first three events are automatically moving on. And then everybody else has to get in on points. The bottom four are still in it until race three, and then the next four drop out after race six, and then the next four drop out after race nine, and then you have four guys battling it out for the trophy at Homestead Miami for at one race, so it gets pretty interesting. I mean, last year we saw how Kevin Harvick was able to make it all the way, winning the last race and the championship. And with Kenseth, Hamlin, and Logano, the other three of the final four trying to chase him down. It comes down to who won the last race to win the championship as opposed to who finished the highest, which made it more exciting. Then you had the guys battling it back. You had the brawl with Brad Keselowski and Jeff Gordon, because they were fighting for an elimination spot. And it's just kind of exciting to see how it gets. Matter of fact, for grins and giggles here, let's look at the chase coming up. You figure you have Dover as your first elimination, Talladega as your second elimination, Phoenix, the second to the last race of the year, is where another battle for the final four spot for the Ford EcoBoost 400 in Miami. It's just amazing how, like, certain races, Talladega, fun race to watch as it is with the pack and the big one, and the fact that four of the guys in the chase could be eliminated at the race end if they're not eliminated in the big one. Dover was where the first round of elimination, so it's good that that race. I always loved that track, and I was a little upset when they changed the date to later in the year, but it turned out to be to their benefit now that they're the third race in the chase instead of the second, because now they're the Monster is an elimination race, so you got got four guys at the bottom of the chaser list fighting for a spot. So that's going to be pretty interesting. We're going to get more on that in a couple of weeks. See if Gary Camp, Communications Director for Dover International Speedway, will join us. Last fall, in the early race, we had track historian George Keller join us. But this race means a little more. And we'll see what happens. But in the last race before the chase in the NHRA was the Chevy Performance U.S. Nationals out at Lucas Oil Raceway Park in Indianapolis. It turned out to be a busy day for some of our regulars, and matter of fact, we're going to get into it a little bit more next week as the season starts to begin in a few weeks, because they'll be kicking it off the weekend of the 18th. So you have I can concentrate on Richmond while the NHR has the weekend off. Of course, also, there was the Traxxas Top Fuel and Funny Car Nitro Shootout. So they had another event within an event to where the Nitro cars could compete for some extra bucks. I think that's $100,000. And let's look at that, see who won the shootout. In the Top Fuel division, with eight drivers competing, it came down to Doug Kalita and Antron Brown. Antron, a former champ, and they had a battle. The rounds consisted of Tony Schumacher, Clay Milliken, Doug Kalita, Sean Langdon, Antron, of course, J.R. Todd, Richie Crampton, and Steve Torrance. Of course, out of all of those, Langdon and Crampton have been on the show. Langdon had a tough time. He fouled out. He jumped the light, so that doesn't help him any. So that eliminated him in round one. Milliken and Polito wound up against each other. They won their first round heat. So it's pretty good that Milliken beat Tony Schumacher, who's a tough customer. Antron Brown and Richie Crampton, they won their heats and moved them against each other in the semifinal round with Antron Brown against Doug Kalita. And it, and the winner was Antron Brown. Of course, Doug Kalita, and he not turning real good times for Top Fuel Dragsters. Antron turned a 4.1 with a 4. And Doug Kalita was 6.58. I mean, one had a funny car time versus a pro stock time. So, pretty interesting with that. And in the funny car division, it was Beckman versus Force in round one, Courtney Force in round one, John Force and Ron Capps in round one, and in one heat, Matt Hagen and Robert Height in the other heat, and Tim Wilkerson and Tommy Johnson Jr. were the funny car battlers. Beckman beat Courtney Force, Ron Capps beat John Force to face each other in the next round, and then Rob Height beat Matt Hagen, and Tim Wilkerson beat Tommy Johnson Jr. to face each other, with Rob Height going to the finals against Beckman, and in a tight race, it was Jack Beckman taking the check over Robert Height for his win in the Nitro Shootout. In the regular actual race itself, the winner was Dave Connolly. Actually, he wasn't the winner. He was in the finals against Morgan Lucas. Lucas sat around. He had to go against Leah Pritchett, and then Richie Crampton, and then Brittany Force made it all the way to the semifinals. And Dave Connolly had to face Sean Langdon. Actually, Khalid Al-Balushi. Wow, he came back to race? No kidding. He hasn't been in it all season because his backing pulled out. He was Al-Anabi Racing. And then Connolly had to go up against Antron Brown, and then Sean Langdon wound up going up against Morgan Lucas, who took the Wally for the first time this year. Good for him. In the funny car division, it was Beckman against Robert Height, kind of like a replay from the Traxxas Nitro Shootout. And the results were pretty much the same. Beckman wound up winning with an 4.05, with Robert Height at a 4.04. Of course, Beckman had to go through Bob Bodie, Ronnie Capps, Del Worsham. Height had to go through John Bojack, his boss John Force, Tommy Johnson Jr., before he wound up taking his while facing Beckman in the final. And at least there was a good race, running true times here. Nobody smoked the tires or broke on the finish line there, had a slow thing. In the pro stock, our girl Erica Enders in a photo finish against her teammate Drew Skillman. It was something seeing two red cars in the final. She had a whole shot win because she had that 0.13 reaction time over her teammate. She turned a 6.61 to Skillman's 6.60. Now, she was that much slower, but she won by that much just because she got out of the off the tree that much faster, something she's been better at this year. I think I've even mentioned that to her She came in as the number four qualifier and had a steady 6.6 second runs throughout the weekend. Nothing slower than a 6.618 in the semifinals, good enough to get her in over Greg Anderson. And I'm kind of curious now as the points. Everybody should be locked into the finals now with their event. Schumacher is your Antron Brown, Crampton. This is what all the seeding. First place has a 30-point lead over second, and then increments down 10 points between second and 10th. So that's Tony Schumacher clinching the top seed, Antron Brown, Richie Crampton, Larry Dixon, Brittany Force, Sean Langdon, Doug Coletta, J.R. Todd, Steve Torrance, and Dave Connolly. Is how it all shakes out. In the funny cards, Beckman in the top spot, clinching the number one seed, defending champ Matt Hagen 30 back, and then minus 10 from each of those. Like minus, you know, maybe it was 40, 50, 60 on down to 110. Hagen to Tommy Johnson, Del Warsham, John Force, Ron Capps, Robert Height, Tim Wilkerson, Cruz Pedregon, and Alexis DeJoria. In the pro stock, Erica Enders is starting where she should have started last year as the number one seed, but being she didn't run the last two races, still had the points to get in, wound up in second. Greg Anderson, 30 back, and then McGay Hay, Jason Lyon, Alan Johnson, Larry Morgan, Shane Gray, Drew Skillman, Vince Nobile, and Jonathan Gray. Round out your top 10. So there are your countdown to the championship contenders for each division of cars. I didn't get into the motorcycles. We're running a little bit behind. That's how it goes. We have Darlington, the big winner, Carl Edwards. So we have another repeat winner there. It was a good race. Because it looked like it was going to be between Keselowski, Logano, and Harvick. Logano led early. Keselowski led the most. He led 196 of the 367 laps. And, you know, with Harvick was chasing him, and it came down to a late caution and a stellar pit stop by Carl Edwards and the Aris Toyota Joe Gibbs team. He had a super fast, flawless pit stop and was able to edge Keselowski out of the pits. And then following behind was the rest of the field, but it all came down to that. And then on the restart, Edwards chose the inside, forcing Keselowski to the outside, which seemed to not help anybody. Early it did, but later on it didn't. And Edwards got the jump on the green. Keselowski didn't seem to get the good a restart that he wanted. He might have spun tires, but who could tell when they launch? You don't see smoke. It's just enough of a spin to cause you to lose grip. And Edwards went on to take the checkered flag. Of course, the top 10 include Keselowski in second. Hamlin wound up third. Joey Logano fourth. Fifth was Kevin Harvick. Sixth, Kurt Busch. Seventh, Kyle Busch. Eighth, Dale Jr. Ninth, Truex Jr. Tenth, Kyle Larson. It was cool seeing the retro paint scheme and Kyle Larson in the number 42, the mellow yellow Chevy, the old Kyle Petty car, which was a copy from Days of Thunder with Tom Cruise, and you know how that goes. As far as the top 16 go, the last four would be you have six guys without wins. You have everybody in the chase with a win. Kyle Busch has to finish still in the top 30 in points before making the chase. So he's still got one race to keep it out. He's climbed to 27. He may or may not get to 26, but he's well enough ahead of Trevor Bayne, and 28th Stenhouse and 29th, and then Allgaier in 30th, that he's pretty much locked himself in, but you can't really say that. You won't know until after the race at Richmond on Saturday night, the Federated Auto Parts 400. And let's get taking a look over there. Now, it's all going to come down to how it's going to turn out. Don't forget, you still get your tickets at RIR.com, Richmond International Raceway's website. All the information you're going to need is right there on the front page. Just click on one of the tabs. If you want tickets for the whole weekend, you can get that too with the Virginia 529 College Fund, which is the Xfinity race on Friday night. Thursday night, you got the UNOH 100 K&N Series East race, where the stars of tomorrow get out there today. All race under the lights. So, well, if there's nothing on TV, you know what to do. So go to Richmond International Raceway this weekend and have a blast. Anyway, as far as picks for the race at Richmond, coming race, or the past race where the chase kicked off, because I like to get my vibe. The early race is a little bit hard to gauge, because the, you know, trying to get in it is one thing, and here where it all comes down to one race to go, you know, the results are usually different. So let's see how it looks. Still looks like it should be kind of interesting. Last year's winner for this race was Keselowski. Gordon with a second good track for Gordon anyway, but he hasn't had the same type of year he did last year. Last year he won some races, was a serious threat for a championship, but this year, while he's had good runs and qualifying runs, he hadn't had the finishes that he needed to look at. Boyer, McMurray, you know, there's some hungry guys there. Clinton knows he needs to at least win the clinch. And he's going to go in there. And then, of course, McMurray, Harvick, Logano, Kurt Busch, these are guys that, you know, are in the chase. These are all guys that were in the chase last year as well, except for McMurray. Yeah, Jimmy Johnson, Newman, Amarola. Who am I going to go with? Dale Jr. runs good there. He's in 12. He's in the chase. He's got a couple of wins. I don't know. I think that's going to come down to a Keselowski versus Harvick. Now, I know Harvick, I saw him steal a win there from Juan Montoya with Logano and Clint Boyer winding up in the top three. And this was an April race. But I think I'm going to go with I don't know. I think I'm going to give it to Happy Harvick this week. We'll go with that. What do you think? But anyway, I'd like to thank everybody for joining us. Special thanks to my guest, Amy Turner from Richmond International Raceway. And I'm Vince Bonfigli. It should be a fun weekend. Exciting racing. We'll see you all next week. We'll see who we line up. So you want to stay tuned in, go to facebook.com/GarageTalkLive. Or, yeah, stay there. That's where I do most of my posting anyway. And we'll see you all next week. Thanks again for joining us. Good day. Good racing.